Blog Talk Radio.
This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.
You know, with my experience as a wrestling journalist, I've used many podcast providers for my wrestling shows, but nothing has seemed to work. However, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jordan Garber Now here on Blog Talk Radio, on anchor.fm, on Apple Podcasts, among many others. My name is Jordan Garber, and obviously I am your host of Jordan Garber Now, stating that that is the name of the show, but it's great to be here. And you know what, Jordan Garber Now, when we existed before, we generated a lot of press, and I want to get right down to that here today. So I wanted to present to you guys here an interview that I've done with Finn Bodie, a.k.a. former WWE star Keith Arney.
All your social media sources back at you here. I am your host, Jordan Garber. It's great to be here on the podcast. Our guest is none other than someone who's had a really big resume in wrestling. A big one, so much that I'm going to give him his own introduction. You introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Coco Beware. No, wait, that's not right. Demolition Smash. That's not right either. AJ Styles? No, still not right. That's still not right. Boogeyman? No, closer, but no, no. Oh, I know. I'm your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi, a.k.a. Kazarni. What's going on, brother?
That is true. It is great to have you on. I'm doing pretty good, and I've been really excited to speak with you. You're actually supposed to do an interview a few years back, but with your character, it's very unique, it's very innovative, and when I worked with Bruce Hart, they were talking about something that's unique and has never been replicated or done before, and you brought a character that provides that. So, kind of learning early from Rip Rogers, from Al Snow, Dusty Rose, Jake Roberts, among others, what were some early things that you learned that you took with you for the rest of your career? You had a very strong training background.
I always try to learn. I literally just got home from teaching at my wrestling school here in Vegas tonight at the Snake Pit, FSW Snake Pit. And I was just telling the kids tonight, always try to learn. Like, I try to learn something every day, hopefully more than one thing. And, you know, if you just kind of keep open-minded and just, you know, I kind of joke about my wrestling training is like Jeet Kune Do. Like, anything's a weapon. Just be water, you know, be fluid, go with the flow, you know, learn, always be open-minded. Implement anything and everything that is going to be useful and is going to make your match more interesting, safe, entertaining, unique. So anything that will be useful, keep an open mind.
Now, obviously, I don't need to ask people why they should attend your school. The school sells itself. Now, where can people, if they want to train to wrestle and get involved in the business and see if they have what it takes, give you a call and join them for a class or get started? How would someone want to go about that?
Well, our school is the FSW Snake Pit. It's in Las Vegas. And if that is too far for you, there are other great wrestling schools all over the world. I would just do your homework, do some due diligence, and don't just find some schmo with a wrestling ring. I would try to find somebody with some street cred, you know, somebody you've seen on TV or something like that where they're kind of proven, tried and true, and, you know, realize that that might not be close by. You might have to pack up your bags and pay some dues and, you know, go wherever. Like, sometimes things don't come easy. But if our school is the school for you, you know, got a great lineup of coaches and junior coaches. You know, between me and Jake Robertson, D'Lo Brown, you've got three different generations of Jr. is helping out. Richard Carrera, just the list goes on and on. I could list Adam Cole, Matt Hardy, and so forth. So we always have different seminar guys and girls coming in and out, as well as a pretty healthy roster of coaches. Our junior coaches are pretty damn awesome as well. Guys like Damian Drake, who is just starting with AAA, and just so many other guys. Piper Streak, he just got back from China. He travels all over the world. So we've got a really, really great place for everybody to come and learn. And then between FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling, and Lucha Libre Las Vegas and Freak Show Wrestling, we put on so many shows, you know, that it gives our students such a hands-on place to practice their craft. You know, students start out, you know, doing stuff around the ringside like security and, you know, timekeeping and grabbing ring codes and just being around the business, being around the show, seeing how the shows are put together. And, you know, they end up being, you know, referees, managers, wrestlers, so forth. And just, you know, they learn everything. They learn about the backstage stuff, you know, how to time out the shows, work gorilla position, all the way to, you know, performing in the main events. It's just a really wonderful experience. I'm very proud of this school. And if you want to see me down in Vegas, you are more than welcome to do that. You can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You'll find us if you type in Snake Pit or FSW Snake Pit. You'll find all that stuff online. And my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram is Sinbodhi, SinnBodhi. And you'll see all the links to the wrestling schools and the wrestling shows on my page as well. And over and above that, I travel every weekend or sometimes more than that. Sometimes you're just throughout the week, depending on my road schedule. But all the coaches, we don't teach on weekends. We just teach Monday through Friday because between the coaches, we all travel on the weekends and sometimes more so. And we also do seminars out and about. So if you don't want to catch us in Vegas, you can always catch one of us in a city near you. So just keep an eye on our social media and you'll see where Dilo's performing, where Kenny's performing, where Dilo's performing, where Jake's performing, et cetera, et cetera. And, so I think we're pretty accessible. So if you want, come get it.
Absolutely, and that's the part in pro wrestling that I'm in right now. I'm a referee. I am learning to, eventually going to transition into wrestling, but I want to make sure that I get a little bit more of a definition going first. But to be a
referee, I think being a referee is the best seat in the house, best place to learn.
I love it.
That's Jake the Snake 101. He spent his first 2 years in the business as a referee. And so, you know, you think about it, like, you know, people in the front row, they're watching the card, but the wrestlers are performing once, maybe twice a night. But the referees sometimes are in the ring once, twice, three times, four times, maybe for the whole show. So they're getting, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 matches under their belt on any given night. And they're in there with, you know, everybody from the first match to the last match. So they get to, you know, absorb all the different techniques and how the wrestlers, you know, execute the matches, how they communicate, how they put together matches, how the bookers put together things. So being a rep is just damn near the best seat in the house for learning purposes.
It is. It's something I take really seriously. You being Canadian as well, you know, I have the Northern Death Tours coming up, and I'm going to be the referee for that. I'm sure you've heard of those Tony Candelo Northern Death Tour. I'm sure you've heard stories.
I actually did the summer ones. I didn't do the winter ones, but I did the summer ones.
Oh, I just did the last winter one. It was in Norway House, Cross Lake, and then it was in Dog Creek. And the referee 6 matches. It's really good because you're right. You do get the best seat in the house. And at the end of the day, I'm breaking a sweat and I'm getting tired and I'm learning something new at the end. And I feel like that's really valuable knowledge.
You're going to learn stuff from the first match, you know, all the way through to the main event. And you're going to see how the guys in the main event maybe do differently than some of the guys in the mid-card, differently than some of the opening guys. You know, like you're going to get all different experience levels throughout the card and different techniques, different styles, different flavors, different characters. And you're going to watch it all piece together, again, with the best in the house. So you can only just be a sponge and absorb.
Absolutely. So let's kind of go back here. You know, we talked about your training. You had an excellent training background. You couldn't learn from anyone better in the business. Now, TNA in 2009, 2003, Sin debuts, and they have the stable called the Disciples of the New Church. Can you kind of go back to some of your memories debuting for the company down in 2003, and how everything kind of came about with that, and the situation, you know, a big company at the time, 2003, just started having those weekly pay-per-views for a year after its existence. So to be a part of something big and growing at the same time, did you think TNA was going to turn out into what it was?
I don't know that I was thinking so far ahead, but I was really open and enamored with it when I got there. I think it was pretty awesome. I think it still is awesome. You know, I will always have a soft spot for TNA, for Impact Wrestling. It'd be my first TV break, basically. I'll always have a soft spot for Scott Martin, who facilitated that break. So thank you, Scott. I love you, buddy. It was really cool. There was pros and cons to it. I made some really great friends that I still very cool with to this day, like Father Jim Mitchell, OPD, AK Slash, Shane Douglas, so many guys, Kid Cash, one of my best pals, Lo. And I learned a lot of things, you know, good, bad, and indifferent. I learned, you know, how sometimes the locker rooms can be, pretty dodgy, and, you know, you have to kind of finesse some pretty shark-infested waters, you know, overcome certain things. And I was always taught, you know, really to be respectful of the pecking order. And so, you know, when some of the top guys being, you know, not so nice to you, you know, like I really was kind of taught to sort of, you know, turn the other cheek, take up a smile, you know, put girls down hills and all that jazz. But at the same time, you know, you have to know when to man up and stand up for yourself, you know, pecking order or not. Said it probably before in some places, like, Raven used to give me a hard time, and I was the greenhorn, he was the vet. He really, really gave me a hard time where, you know, we came close to fighting one night, and then Kid Cash, like in the locker room, and Kid Cash kind of came to my rescue. He always took care of me on the road. He always, like, was my senior, and, I guess he had a soft spot for me. I think he liked my work ethic, and he liked that I was, you know, always tried, whether I did it well or did it shitty, I still tried pretty damn hard, and so I think he appreciated that. And fast forward, I will say something really, really nice and great about Raven was, just talking about this the other day with a couple buddies. My timelines are kind of crappy, but I want to say maybe, it was anywhere between 6 months and a year ago, Raven came into town in Vegas and invited me to dinner, and we sat down, and we had this really great conversation, and he was super cool, and, and he kind of wanted to sort of apologize and just say, hey, man, I didn't treat you very well when you were a greenhorn, and, he was just, I guess he wasn't in the greatest of places for whatever reason, but I just looked up to him. I thought he was awesome, but at the same time, he was not overly nice, and he was totally a different guy, and he was just like, hey, man, I've really grown a lot, and I just wanted to let you know, I think he was kind of weirdly jealous. I'm like, what are you jealous about? Like, you're a regular man, you're awesome. What's the problem? And he just, over the years, like, he's like, well, Jake the Snake was one of my favorite guys, and you've spent more time on the road with him than anybody. Like, you are the closest fucking portable fart drive with Jake the Snake knowledge. Like, all that wrestling psychology.
God, psychology.
In my head from Jake's mom. What's that?
Oh, no, I was just commenting. When it comes to Jake Roberts, he teaches you a lot of psychology again, I bet.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, he's, he's one of these psychological masters of pro wrestling. And, I spend the most road time with him more than just about anybody. And Raven kind of pointed that out, which I, I think more than just about anybody, I'm one of Jake's best pals. I spent so much time on the road with him and just hanging out, we have school together and, just sitting in his house, just listening to him and just talking and just, I some of that knowledge. You know, not a whole lot of other dudes ever learned under Cade. Like, he didn't really, like, he broke in a lot of guys, but he didn't really mentor a whole lot of guys. Like, DDP would be the closest thing, I think. He certainly helped out guys like Undertaker and Stone Cold and stuff, but I don't know that he took them under wing as much as he did with guys like me or Dallas. And yeah, they're just, you know, I've been with Jake through thick and thin, and, you know, through all of his ups and downs, and he's doing great right now, which I'm very proud of him. And so, yeah, I mean, again, just coming back to Raven, I was just, just sort of put the forest to the trees. We're just like, man, you are the guy that is walking around with all of that knowledge, you know, and you, you know, he's like, you turn out to be a really great performer, and you're a very unique character and a unique individual, but also too, like, just, holy crap, you're walking around with Jake's knowledge, you know, and so I guess, like, I've accrued quite a bit of knowledge from quite a bit of different experiences and wrestling different characters and, you know, being coached by different characters, you know, be it Dr. Tom Pritchard, or Rip Rogers, or Al Snow, Dusty Rhodes, you know, I've been agented by, you know, Ricky Steamboat, and Dean Malenko, and Arn Anderson, so, you know, not too shabby, and wrestled a million different dudes along the way. I probably wrestled a lot of the 80s guys, you know, accumulatively. I bet you I wrestled probably more of the 80s wrestlers than maybe a lot of the current, you know, Raw, SmackDown, AEW, Impact stars put together damn near, like,
really?
so many of them. I mean, the Steiner brothers to King Kong Bundy to Hacksaw Jim Duggan to Jerry Lawler, just the list goes on and on and on. Rock and Roll Express, and, you know, Warrior Hawk, Ahmed Johnson to Gangrel to Al Snow, and just the list more viscera. Just so many dudes, man, just learned and learned and learned. Jimmy Anvil, Jimmy Hart, just so many guys from the way who were just gracious enough to impart knowledge. Shane Douglas, you know, just so many dudes. So many great, great wrestlers. And I could just reap the benefits of learning from them all. You know, when you're in the ring fighting with them, man, you're just doing nothing but learning. It's just awesome. As a kid growing up loving wrestling, I mean, holy crap, how can you not feel, like, so lucky and so enamored, you know, to be learning from all these great guys? Standing across from the Wild Samoan or Road Warrior, you know, like, holy crap, like, it's pretty awesome just to have that experience. Like, it's like bucket list stuff, you know, let alone learning your craft.
Oh, absolutely. It's huge, and especially if you don't have that guidance continue your way throughout your career, which included 2004 here, where with WWE you did some dark matches for them. Now, my first question is, what were the differences backstage here in WWE and TNA? What were you dealing with in WWE that you weren't dealing with in TNA, or vice versa?
Like when I was first doing some dark matches?
Yeah, like, you're talking about your first experience there, after TNA.
So, my first experience was before TNA, and I was just... I couldn't have been wrestling for a year, and Edge, who is one of my best buddies, he's as close to me as my own blood brother, my own related brother, we grew up together. And he got me a dark match, and way before I ever belonged in a ring of that caliber, like, I was coming along just fine, but I was still nowhere near ready. You know, like, you don't go to Harvard when you just started, you know, getting a decent grade in grade two, you know? I was good for grade two, but nowhere near ready for Harvard. And they put me in with a buddy of mine who is also another nice guy, you know, really great guy. Wasn't overly skilled, but he was more nervous. And he was a big, huge, muscle guy, and I just couldn't move him around. He kind of got so petrified, and I was just too green to know how to deal with that at the time. And long and short, we just had about the crappiest match in the history of pro wrestling, and it was awful. And like today, that. I could wrestle a guy like that in my sleep now. But when you're in grade two, not so much. And so instead of getting bitter or despondent, I just thought, okay, well, that match hurt me pretty good, but I'm going to, you know, make a negative into a positive, and I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to become better, and I'm going to, you know, prevail and follow my dreams. And that's what I did. Travel and travel and travel, and then I did my run in TNA and Impact, and then things didn't work out there. More on, like, political stuff. I'm not even exactly sure of details or whatever. Like, there's different management and just different things going on, and, you know, wrestling business doesn't owe anybody anything. So, you know, me and Jim Mitchell and Slash will be, we're kind of lost in the shuffle. And then not too long after that, I got hired by WWE out of OVW in Louisville. And that was where I was training under Al Snow, Rip Rogers, and working for Danny Davis and so forth. And yeah, that's where I got my first, that was where I got my break for WWE.
And talking...
spot for OVW and for Al Snow and all those guys.
And with working with OVW, with Rip Rogers and Al Snow, WWE is a development territory back in the time. They went through a transition. So OVW was obviously a great experience. It was great to talk to many people that performed in OVW. But OVW, they switched promotions as their developmental to FCW. So during that switcheroo process, was there anything different going on, or was it just a normal transition?
Well, I mean, I don't know how different, because I was in OVW for about 7 months before I got hired, and then I didn't see anything of OVW when I went to FCW. I was just, you know, busting our asses day in, day out. You really just didn't have time to look and see anything else or think about anything else. I mean, you really put your heart and soul into training there. Like, they really worked you hard. Like, Dr. Tom is just an awesome trainer. You know, I trained with Doc, with Norman Smiley, Billy Kidman, Steve Kern. And, you know, they brought Dusty Rhodes, and they all brought it. Like, they made you work. You know, try to tell wrestling students, you know, like, you know, just back in the day, like, when we trained, like, with Ron Hutchinson, like, back in Toronto, like, it was hard. It was old school. It was grueling. It was blood, sweat, and tears. Like, I mean, that's how he named his book, Pain, Torture, and Agony. You know, like, that's what it was. And so I try to tell the kids these days, I don't like to be a back-in-my-day kind of guy, but back in my day, we trained pretty damn hard. And I get that the landscape is different now, and I'm always, like, I'm not Bulldog Matrix kind of a guy. I always sort of morph with the times. You know, I'm not old school. I'm not new school. I'm proud to say I am a bridge. I try to be Kudo, try to be everything, you know, and I realize, like, when I walk into the school, I can't be Mama Bear or Papa Bear. I gotta be just right. You know, I can't be too hard on them, and I can't be too light on them, because if you're too hard on them, you break them like a horse. If you are too light on them, then you are ill-preparing them for the deep end they are about to be in. So, you know, being a coach is, to me, a very responsible, very honorable thing where, you know, you can't, you know, misuse that. You have to impart knowledge the right way, or what kind of a human being are you? You know, like, I'm definitely a Miyagi over Cobra Kai kind of guy. You know, like, I don't believe in being so hard on guys. I believe in, you know, being a baby, trying to teach them to be, you know, brotherly and safe, and think about your fellow brother and so forth. But at the same time, you know, you got to bring it, like, in a ballet, as they say. No disrespect to ballet, but, you know what I mean?
I sure do. What are some stories that you might have, you know, working with guys like Kofi Kingston and FCW? Any fun memories to share about them?
Kofi? So I haven't seen Kofi in a long time. I want to say maybe, it's been years. I want to say maybe, like, oh boy, maybe WrestleMania in New Orleans a few years ago. We wrestled a few times in OVW. And Kofi's a great guy. I like Kofi. I think he is super talented. I think Murphy's Law did not like me and Kofi in the ring together, because every time time I was in the ring with Kofi, he busted me open hard way. Somehow, in the few times that we wrestled, every time I got busted. It was always from something silly or something weird. And again, he's a super good dude. I got nothing but good things to say about him. I think he's so athletic and so creative, and I was very proud to see him get a championship at WWE and, all the tag team success with the New Day and just everything. One time he clotheslined me in the mouth, boom, blood. One time he elbowed me in the head, one time blood. And then I remember getting to a match with him thinking, and he was pinning me, and I just remember thinking, yay, and then he busted open, and as he went to pin me, he elbowed me in the face, and blood. So, thank you, Kofi. But otherwise, other than him busting me open every time we ever touched, I still love him.
Absolutely. He just adds a lot of, I guess if he's making you bleed a lot, he's adding a lot of color to your matchups each and every time.
That's right.
Which is so bad.
He's got a lot of elbows. He's very sharp.
Sharp, but not stiff.
No. He's a wonderful wrestler. I think he's a great wrestler. It's just Murphy's Law was just, I think, taking me by every time I get in there, somehow, they'll have.
So yeah, he's indeed a great talent. And speaking of great talents and colorful characters, your character was a big influence on basically what Bray Wyatt had. At least basically that's what I think here. And I believe that's been mentioned before is in rumors about you having a little bit of influence on the Bray Wyatt character. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I've had this conversation / argument with so many wrestlers over the years, whatever. I'm an easygoing guy. I have no problem with Bray Wyatt or anybody else doing anything in this business. I've had other circus guys or wrestlers say, oh, I saw this guy in clown paint, or saw this guy wearing this, doing that, or wearing this, or whatever. It's all good. It's fine. I don't have a copyright on clown paint or on a bloody butcher's apron or whatever. It's just that I think, if somebody wants to be influenced or borrow something from somebody, be my guest. It's cool. Me or anybody else, just kind of, reference it. You can give that person a bit of a rub, you can kind of put over where you got an idea, I'd be the first to say, Jake the Snake was an influence, George Steele, Green Goblin, Joker, Dee Snider, I can just tell you, Adrian Street, Great Muda, so many different wrestlers, Cowboy Bob Orton, I have so many influences, so many things that I do are referenced by, or parodied, or whatever the right word is, I never took outright, I just took little bits and pieces and then molded and morphed it into my own stuff, or had an original thought because it was just something close to somebody else. But I think, if somebody, likes your work and wants to borrow from you, I think it's flattering, but at the same time, if you take a whole lot and just don't reference it, I think it's just kind of it's not right or wrong, it's not illegal or legal, it's just kind of cool guy stuff to do, be a dude or a girl, just be a good guy or girl, and just, if he was to say, oh yeah, Bodhi is the guy that I got a lot of stuff from, that'd be good by me, and that would only up my street cred and up my pay rate for, promoters or whatever. Oh man, that's the guy that influenced Bray Wyatt, as opposed to just kind of being, out in the cold over. Again, he doesn't owe me anything. It would just be a cool way to be like, oh yeah, that guy really influenced me. And he did. He asked me so many questions when we were in FCW together, why do you do this, why do you do that? It was an open book. I still am an open book to anybody that asks me about different things, and I'm not going to get unheard about stuff. I actually had this, I could see for 2 seconds this was not going to go well, because I think when you try to communicate with text or whatever, I think meaning and tone get lost in just typed words. So, I saw a dude do my dart spots. And I think I was probably a little ornery or whatever, and I just wasn't, for whatever reason, I just kind of took it in the dude took it in the worst way, and then I just, again, quickly, as a senior guy and as a coach, I want to take the high road. You know, to be human is to be flawed, and you can get upset or happy or mad or sad at any given point, but at the same time, you have to take inventory and accountability of your thoughts and emotions, and I just thought, man, this isn't going to do anybody any good, and we talked in private, and next thing you know, we're thick as thieves. Like, it was super cool, and I was super glad that that happened, because I made a new friend, a new brother out of the situation. I've got no problems in saying that, you know, I think we both could have handled the thing better in the first place, but I'm super glad how it turned out. And it really did. It taught me a lesson, and I try to learn something every day. And I'm a pretty savvy coach. I don't have all the answers, but I have a few, you know, and I just added that to my learning curve, my learning repertoire, which is, you know, the stuff that you want to impart on students. Like, I remember Dr. Tom would always say, you know, hey, we've made every mistake you have and will make. That's why we're good coaches. You know, and that's why we're here to teach you. So, you know, I learned from that. And, when I see guys like Bray Wyatt, like, I hope he cares about me as much as I care about him. I'm glad he is successful. I'm glad he is doing this thing. You know, and if I influenced him, he doesn't owe me anything. You know, whether it's cool to say so or not, he doesn't owe me anything. I'll say that on the record. I just think I like seeing his character. I like his character. And I'm happy that he's doing what he's doing, and I'm happy if I ever influenced him in any way.
So making it to the bigs, you know, working against MVP and making your debut on SmackDown, after, I think they ran your vignettes for a few months, a long time, they're hyping up the character here. So to kind of go up there with all that hype behind you and work someone like MVP in the ring and get over, what were you guys discussing before your match? How did it go, and how did things turn out after in the long run of things?
I wrestled MVP quite a bit on live events after that, and we always got along great. We always we had really fun matches. I think, like, when I did, you know, maybe a couple months worth of like live events, SmackDown live events, and I would either wrestle MVP or sometimes I'd wrestle Chavo or Bradley J or Eric Escobar or maybe Kurt Hawkins, guys like that. But for the most part, you know, I was basically this indie guy that was in the middle of a card. I wasn't the first match. I was stuck in the middle of this card full of, like, these mega legends like Triple H, Undertaker, Big Show, Mark Henry, Edge and Christian, Hardy Boy, Shelton Benjamin, R-Truth. Just the list goes on and on, but just the coolest, best talent ever. And then there's little old me, who is like this brand new guy that nobody knows who he is. But I think, to our credit, you know, we were pulling pretty good matches, and like we get the crowd chanting, and you know, the agents that agented us, whether it was Arn Anderson or Dean Malenko or IRS, you know, we come in the back and they're like, "Good job, boys." So I was always like super flattered at that response. But I think just politically things just didn't go my way, and I don't want to say I was kind of collateral damage on some stuff that really had nothing to do with me. Just, you know, as they say, business, you know, nothing personal, although I do believe that nothing is more personal than business, because, you know, I think if you're getting jammed on your dreams, well, what's not more personal than that? But, you know, the silver lining is I got to work for the company that I grew up loving, you know, even if it was a short period of time. I like to think I did a good job. I was nice to everybody that I came into contact with. It's always nice to wrestlers, always nice to, you know, people in the back, always nice to fans. Like, I'd like to think there's not a fan out there that's going to tell you I was a jerk to them. And, you know, I've gone back a couple times doing the guest coaching at the WWE Performance Center. So, you know, I mean, that is amazing. And, you know, I get to travel the world and do what I love, so I really can't complain. I mean, you know, like, you know, the wrestling business doesn't owe me anything, it doesn't owe anybody else anything. There's so many great opportunities for wrestling these days. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, man, it has not been more interesting ever before than it has been now. I think this is such a new, we're on the horizon of such a great wrestling finally. You know, NXT's there's so many great companies all over the place, you know, whether it's ROH or Impact or AAA or, you know, New Japan or every, there's just great stuff everywhere. And I just get the privilege of traveling, you know, every week I go somewhere. And I get to have the privilege of putting smiles on human faces by being a good guy or a bad guy or, you know, doing whatever crazy wrestling moves and whatever crazy wrestling character it takes to make fans who holler and get their money's worth. And, like, man, I have no complaints about my life.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I'm really glad, you know, that you had a, you know, you've done it all. You've traveled around the world and you've reached every day and you're learning something new every day. And I'm going to be 70 years old and I'm still going to learn something new every day, which is really huge.
I will say that this is the first day in the wrestling business for me times 20 years.
Very true. Every day is my first day.
Attack every day like an enamored little kid opening presents at Christmas. Like, that's the magic of pro wrestling.
Absolutely. So, transitioning now from that to something, you know, I like to do. I'm a guy that likes to watch a lot of tapes. I'm a referee, aspiring pro wrestler in the future. So I like to watch a tape a day, an hour of tapes a day. So today you have to watch one wrestling tape. You can only pick one. You have 2 hours. What are you going to pick and what year?
Oh, man, I am just a student of the game, and I just love it, man. I could give you examples. I give my wrestling students homework all the time for all sorts of different things.
What would my homework be for tonight?
The homework I told the guys about tonight was there's a featured show. I don't remember what the show was. It's featured on the network right now. And it has Jake the Snake and Mr. Perfect in the main event. And as cool as that match sounds, and it's a great match, really cool finish. Bobby Heenan is involved. It's really cool. But the match that I would go to is Marty Jannetty versus Paul Roma. And I know that maybe sounds weird. No disrespect to Paul Roma, but I think people aren't going to expect that to be like the best, most technical, awesomest, whatever match for whatever reason. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought Marty Jannetty, you know, was just the perfect babyface. The situation is Shawn Michaels is hurt from something that Power and Glory had done, I guess, a week earlier, and Jannetty's there to have a singles match with Paul Roma while Hercules is on the outside, and it's just a really great match. They implement Hercules just enough where, you know, he's always that danger factor on the outside, so they don't overcook him by overutilizing him and weakening him and limiting him by, you know, having too much done to him. You know, he is the heater on the outside, and he's huge. I mean, like, such an ominous, scary guy. And then Jannetty is just fighting the good fight, and just the pace and the cadence and the selling and the fire and the creative spots. You know, how he's leading Roma around, you know, especially it's harder for a babyface to lead a heel. You know, and Roma's good, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not insulting him in the least. I, you know, think the match is great, and I think he was great. I'm just saying, as far as, like, you know, what people might perceive, you know, and people can perceive a lot of stuff about me, too, so it's fine. But I'm just kind of just calling it like I see it. And anyway, I think that was a really great match. So for young wrestlers out there, that's a really great homework match to watch. See how that babyface fires up and feeds off the crowd. Keeps an eye on everything the heel does. The heel keeps an eye on everything the babyface does. They both act, react together. Doesn't look like it's paint by numbers. Doesn't look like they're collaborating. Doesn't look spotty, even though they do some really great moves in there. Like, I think the trick is to make the spots and all the in-between. You know, like, look, think of the spots like bricks. Those, you know, even big, nice, awesome, solid bricks are going to crumble if the cement holding the bricks together isn't there. That work rate, call that cement the work rate. So if you don't tie those bricks together with the right cement and just in the right way, you know, you can really kind of cut your nose to spite your face, or you can get a lot of mileage out of it. They do, Jannetty and Roma really, really tell a great story. They give us so much mileage out of some really cool spots, really cool situations, and it's an awesome match.
Awesome. Well, Sin, you know what? For you to take the time out of your day was absolutely more than a pleasure. Before I let you go here, I just want to make sure one more time fans know where they can follow you on social media and stay up to date with you live.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at Sin Bodhi. That's SinnBodhi. Sin with two N's, Bodhi like the tree. And you can see all the different shows, all the different cities, states, countries that I'll be in. I'll be in England at the end of the month. I go back to Mexico shortly after that. And then just traveling state to state. I'll be in Canada end of December and just all over the damn place. And yeah, I'll be back at OBW soon. I'm going to do some shows everywhere from Alabama to, Portland, Oregon to Seattle and back again, LA, Vegas, just all over the darn place. Love what I do. It's my pleasure to perform in front of earthlings of all shapes and sizes.
All right. Well, that was none other than my interview with Sin Bodhi, a.k.a. Kazarni in WWE. He talks about Jake Roberts, his WWE and TNA backstage experience, as well as with Kofi Kingston, Bray Wyatt in his debut against MVP. Definitely a lot of good stuff here. Now, coming up, next week's guest, but first, a word from our new sponsor, PowerSlam TV.
Pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on PowerSlam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
That is correct. And however, in order to get the free trial, you use promo code POWERSLAMNOW. That is promo code POWERSLAMNOW on powerslam.tv to get one month for free. After that, you get 6,400 hours of professional wrestling anytime you want, day, afternoon, or night, and it's only for $5.99 a month after your first free month with promo code POWERSLAMNOW. So, next week's guest here on Jordan Garber Now is going to be Casey Lennox. She is in Major League Wrestling, and she has a lot on her mind, and she's going to deliver that to you guys here on Jordan Garber Now. For myself, Jordan Garber here, and Jordan Garber Now, you guys have yourselves a great night.
This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.